In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the
Let us pray. O God, you have prepared for those who love you joys beyond understanding. Pour into our hearts such love for you that, loving you above all things, we may obtain your promises, which exceed all we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from Acts. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm. Congregation, please read the bold print. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory.
O Lord, you have made known your victory.
You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the voice of song. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell therein. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. A reading from 1 John. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. You love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appoint you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were here on Easter Sunday, you may recall that we were looking at Mark's Gospel and what is believed to be the original ending of the tomb being empty and the women being afraid. That I asked you to consider that, not to see that as an ending, but really just the beginning. And as we journey through Acts of the Apostles during the Easter season, I believe that sentiment holds true. As the disciples encountered the crucified and risen Christ, they may not know what to think, but they certainly do not realize this new beginning that they're invited into, because boundary lines are being redrawn. Barriers are being torn down. In Acts chapter 11, verse 17, Peter gives a report to the church at Jerusalem, and he says, "If then God gave them, the Gentiles, the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" But Peter doesn't get to this realization immediately. The Spirit must do their work on Peter, seemingly even more so than those on the outside. I mean, think about it for a second. Who needs more convincing here? Last week in our lesson from Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch talks to Philip and says, "Hey, there's water here. What prevents me from being baptized?" And I can only imagine what Philip is thinking in that moment. There's a whole host of reasons why you shouldn't be baptized. But the Spirit's at work here. Peter encounters Gentiles that God was already at work in them. And like many of us, Peter has this impulse to close the door and to trust the barriers that they're accustomed to. Being on the inside, we tend to believe that we have all the answers, that people need to be enlightened by our understanding of God, by our understanding of the good news. In the Western Christianity that we've been brought up in, it doesn't occur to us that somebody on the outside might give us something to ponder that would reveal how God is at work, not just in them, but in the world. But to be fair, that is precisely what Peter and others are encountering here. We're all trying to just be faithful, all of us. We're just trying to be faithful. But the Spirit is throwing everybody a curveball. And I think that's the Spirit's favorite pitch, by the way, is a curveball. It's the Spirit that gives us new life, but it's that same Spirit that opens doors that we thought were once impossible to ever be open. But who does the Holy Spirit point us to? The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. And when we see Jesus, we encounter a Savior that tells us to love one another as he has loved us. That those who are going to be brought into this fold is going to continue to expand. But can we handle that? It seems that the Holy Spirit humbles us, doesn't it? That we did not initially see certain things in our lives, and then the Spirit finally kind of maybe clobbers us a bit, hits us over the head, and we are humbled by the things we were not originally open to. I mean, in that fundamental understanding of faith in Jesus Christ for Lutheran Christians, it's the understanding that faith is a gift from the Holy Spirit. As Luther writes in the Small Catechism, "I believe that I cannot believe by my own understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord." It's the Holy Spirit that does that. It's the Holy Spirit that humbles us in such a revelation, isn't it? Because if Jesus Christ is Lord, then I am not. If Jesus Christ is Lord, then the idols and false gods of this world are not. And we are humbled in our need to now surrender ourselves to our Lord, to let go of the gods that we thought were going to fix our lives, to let go of the impulse to always want to be in control, to think that we can fix everything and save everything, but to surrender ourselves to the way and love of Jesus. It certainly starts there in how the Holy Spirit humbles us. But far too often, I've seen the Holy Spirit used in ways that tend to promote an individual's agenda. Always lines up with their agenda, doesn't it? Right? They say they were led in a direction by the Holy Spirit. And I think we could say that they're certainly full of something, but it might isn't the Holy Spirit, right? But in our lesson, these last 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit doesn't embolden our confidence in knowing that we have it all figured out, we have it all right. What does the Holy Spirit do? Humbles us in saying, hey, you don't have it all right. That God's kingdom is inclusive and expanding. What is to prevent that eunuch last week from being baptized? What is to prevent these Gentiles that Peter encounters from being brought in? The Holy Spirit is revealing otherwise. Now, in the beginning of Acts chapter 10, we're introduced to Cornelius, who is a Roman citizen and soldier. Notice God is working on Cornelius at this point, and it isn't any of the disciples who are going in and working on Cornelius, but it's the Holy Spirit that's at work breaking down these barriers between Jews and Gentiles. And in Acts chapter 10, Peter needs to be convinced that such a barrier needs to be broken down. From Peter's Jewish worldview at the time, there are just things that Peter cannot fathom. In a vision that Peter has, he's told to kill and eat something that would be unclean under Jewish law. And he says, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane and unclean. Then Peter hears the voice a second time say, what God has made clean, you must not call profane. This happens three times, and Peter doesn't know what to make of this. You see how the Spirit's working hard on Peter? Doesn't know what to make of this. But Peter soon finds himself in a house full of Gentiles. And he says, you yourselves know that it is unlawful for a Jew to associate with you or to visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. Let me read that back to you. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone profane or unclean. We don't hear that verse amplified in church and society a lot, do we? And this leads to what we encounter in our lesson from Acts today. That Jesus is preached, the Spirit does its work, it's been doing its work, and baptism becomes a means of God's radical, inclusive, loving grace and welcome into the kingdom and family of God. I'm in the middle of working on my doctoral thesis, and I've been speaking to people who have been deconstructing their faith, leaving the institutional church, but still consider themselves Christian, and even their experiences are often dismissed. There are church leaders in our society that say they're unclean, that the reason they left is that, oh, they just want to sin. But if you listen to them, you'll find that many of them are seeking just to be faithful, and that the Holy Spirit is still at work in their lives and their witness to the love of Jesus in the world. Jesus lays down his life for us, and as we abide in him, we're invited to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Not to uphold barriers, not to be gatekeepers, but to love one another and to bear fruit. To love as Jesus loves us means that the life that we live is going to be sacrificial love for others. That they would know the love of Jesus through the fruit that we bear and the love that we share. But we cannot do this alone. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need to be humbled by the Holy Spirit so that we can hear the witness on those on the outside, those on the margins, those inside and outside the church, who God has invited to partake in this kingdom. Because our sinfulness and brokenness, my sinfulness and brokenness, we hear the story and we think it's over, but it's only beginning. We think God has spoken, but God is still speaking. And the Holy Spirit enables us to hear God, to humble us to hear that good news anew each and every time it's proclaimed. Because just like last week, what does Philip do? He's pointing the eunuch to Jesus. What's Peter doing? He's pointing the Gentiles to Jesus. That's what preaching is supposed to do. Points you to Jesus. We're pointed to Jesus, and the Spirit shows us the way of Jesus Christ, shows us the grace of God, because we are all humbled in knowing that none of us deserve a place here, but God made a place for us in Jesus Christ. What did it say in John's Gospel? You did not choose me, but I chose you. I made a place for you here. And if I can make a place for you here, what limits do we have in who can be here? Who can be welcomed at the table? Who can be included in the kingdom? So may the Holy Spirit get us out of the way. Out of the way of ourselves and out of the way of others hearing and receiving the good news of Jesus Christ. And may the Holy Spirit continue to show us the way so that when we are following the way of Jesus, that people will see the fruit that we bear, receive the love that we share, which is a love that gives us new life now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God.
rejoicing that Jesus is risen and love has triumphed over fear, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need of good news. Your Holy Spirit falls upon all who hear the word. Fill your church with the gifts of your Spirit and give understanding hearts to those who strengthen our commitments with our ecumenical and interreligious partners. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God of grace. You speak, and the face of the earth is renewed. Revive your creation, that habitats and every kind of living thing might flourish. Protect endangered species, and help us to care for all your creatures. God of grace. Your world is divided, and the nations rage. Grant wisdom and vision to world leaders, that they may seek justice, peace, and the good of all. Strengthen international partnerships and cooperation. God of grace. Your children are in need. Comfort all those who suffer, especially those afflicted by illness, anxiety, depression, and mental illness. Help us to be conduits of your love and our care for one another. We pray especially for Justin, Susie, Scott and Connie, John, Dan, Eileen, Jerry, Pat, Michelle, Dixon, Pat, Debbie, Paul, Candace, Cheryl, Dave, Chip, Claire Ellen, Scott, Bill, Jeff, the family of Roger Stepp, Thomas, Jim, and our homebound. God of grace. Your work is done in this place with our hands. Bless the ministries of this congregation, that we may embody your love for the world. Inspire those who plan and lead worship, council members, committee members, and volunteers. God of grace. Your blessed saints now rest in you. Give us thankful hearts for those who have gone before us. At the last, bring us all together around your heavenly banquet table. God of grace.
Into your hands, most merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abiding love, through Jesus Christ, our resurrected and living Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
We give you thanks, Father, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you sent in this end of the ages to save and redeem us and to proclaim to us your will. He is your word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hand in suffering in order to free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one who handed over to a death he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time I'd like to call forward all those helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. Distribution of the sacrament will take place continuously by method of intinction. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, they'll be on the lectern side. You will receive a host and then dip it into the chalice of your choice. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell the whole world of his love.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
I'd like to invite those who are sharing communion with our homebound members to come forward. Gracious God, loving all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your loving care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive the sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.